Are you ready yet, Robin? Poor Robin's tired.
The DivaCast, number 121, 19 November 2008. Everybody, we are the divas of the DivaCast. We are five fun, fabulous 40-something women. And I'm Sharon.
And I'm Suzanne.
And I'm Carrie. And we believe inside every woman is a diva. And guess what? We don't want to hear any complaining that Amy and Julie are not here tonight.
You got us back, girls. Just the three of us.
It's just us.
Here's
the divas.
The divas, the three divas. Hey, I really like doing the intro, Suzanne.
Wow. Okay, well, you know what? I'll play therapist for the minute. And I will say...
I like control, don't I?
Yeah, so what do you like about that?
I don't know.
It just feels good.
It feels good. I like it a lot.
You like the control aspect.
I guess I do.
You're going to have to share the mic.
You're going to have to share the scepter, Sharon.
Well, at 121 times, I've done it three. So I think that's okay.
Aww.
You've done it more than three.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But not much.
No.
Yeah. But I mean, I can do it all in one hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It is kind of fun to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 Do you remember when we first started recording how we would all get a little mic? We'd get like a little nervous being on the mic. And now it's just like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get myself in trouble more than not.
Yeah.
Just being too comfortable.
Yeah, because you can cross that boundary where you just get so relaxed and comfortable and you start to spill it.
Correct. Well, I think it's kind of what Amy said the other week where she was saying how she wanted diva time and how, you know, so many times we don't have time to meet just to have diva time and we're doing the DivaCast shows. And so it kind of all blurs together for me sometimes. And
forget that we're on the microphone.
Yeah, I do. Okay.
I know. I hate that we've had so much less diva time. And it seems to be all about the DivaCast.
We need to schedule it.
I know. And it's, but gosh, our spare time, it's just
hard. Non-existent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very. Yeah. Now the holidays. Ay.
Are you having a Christmas party?
No. Okay.
Oh.
I know, you guys.
No?
You know what? I know. Actually, for all of our local
friends. Can we just
friends,
come to your house if you're not here? And would that be okay?
I know. I had a kickin'.
Yes, she did.
That was a beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lovely party. Robin and I talked about it. And instead, we are putting our efforts and money into going to France. His grandmother is turning 90 years old. Grandmama.
Aww.
You know, and.
Sybil.
Quoi?
Sybil.
Sybil?
It's nice. Sybil. It's nice.
Oh, Sybil.
She's Sybil? Not Sybil.
Yeah, I'm like, Sybil.
Not Sybil. Sybil. It's pretty. That's great.
Oh, Sybil. Oh,
Sybil.
Oui, oui.
Yeah.
C'est vrai?
Yeah.
Oui. Yes. And as many, well, so I don't know if our listeners know or not, but you know, Robin's mother was murdered, 14 years ago. Yeah. She was shot.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. She was shot in the head in a botched robbery attempt. And her name was Nellie. So Robin, because he doesn't have his mother, but he has his mother's mother, Grandmama, who still lives in France because Robin's mother was a French national. We just feel it's important to be present.
Yeah, 90s.
You know?
90s big.
Yeah. And her stories are really fascinating about World War II. So
wow.
We'd love to take our son and have him participate and listen and to see the culture because I think this is part of our son's heritage.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah, so, but that's cramping our style.
Yeah,
that's all well and good.
So you're trying to tell us
narcissistic
more
diva?
Important than a Christmas party.
Exactly.
I know. Okay, so the Christmas party, so we really talked about this because we had such a great time. I had a great time hosting the whole thing and just putting the whole thing together because it really got my creative juices flowing. And I thought, oh my God, if my husband sees me walk in the door with another armful of poinsettias, do you know how many poinsettia plants I had? I mean, dozens of red poinsettias all over the house, but it looked darn.
It was pretty.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Yeah. It was very lovely.
Thank you. But we need to do it at your house, Sharon, because you have the space.
Yeah, but she'd make us leave by 7:45.
Yeah, I can do it from like 4 to 7. Yeah. That's a Christmas party.
So, but Carrie, so you have the space as well.
Yeah, but I just don't. I'm just, I'm not into formal entertaining at all.
Did it feel too formal though when I did it?
No, but I mean, you had it catered and it was lovely, and I'm really into bring something to share and hang out.
But that's so awesome.
But I haven't done anything in so long.
So we'll bring something to share at your Christmas party.
Okay. I think we should go.
Why don't we pick a diva that's not present?
Yeah.
How about Amy? Amy's house is looking so beautiful.
Yeah, you know what? We'll do Amy. Amy, we are nominating you to host the Christmas party this year, the 2008.
That would be good.
Yeah. And we'll all bring a dish. And a bottle of wine.
Hey, what if we invite the Diva listeners, the Diva Sistas?
Yeah,
Diva
we'll have Amy's address posted and the date and time.
I think
that'll be good.
That would be fun.
Hey, what? Did I ever tell you about the party that we got invited to, and it was bring your own meat?
No.
I brought my husband. Oh, that's gross. That just sounds vulgar.
I
brought my own pork.
Yeah, it was... I'm sure, and, you know, of course, I thought it was unusual, but I didn't, you know, I'm going with it. And I tell my husband, I'm like, okay, we're going to this party, and
Carrie and I are
cracking up. Excuse me? What do you mean we bring our own meat? And that's what it said on the invitation. It was, bring your own meat. So, all I can say is, if you can't afford to have meat at your party, don't ask your guests to bring it.
Well, to me,
or don't have a party. I mean, these people were
wealthy.
But
it defeats the purpose of a party. To me, it's to show your friends love and gratitude.
Well, you know, I'm like Carrie.
So if I ask them to bring something, that's
I think that's fine as well. For me, what I wanted to do was just different because I love doing what I did.
See, I think if you're going to host a party, you do the majority of it.
You just said it defeats the purpose if somebody has to bring
something. For me, I don't want to go to a party. I'll just name it. I don't want to have to go to a party where I have to bring something.
Okay, well, I won't invite you then. Will you come to my party?
I have no problem.
Yeah, stop.
I'm all about bringing stuff.
No, I don't make people. If you can't bring it, I don't make you bring it. You can come without something.
Oh, okay. Maybe if there's one of our listeners who wants us to have the party at their house.
Yeah, and
we could do that.
And I don't want to have to bring it. I just want to go and just not have to bring anything.
Well, it's just, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, I will live to talk about for a long time. And we went to the party.
Well, what was it like there? Was it just a bunch of meat? Like, what did they have?
It was like a barbecue kind of thing, and they wanted you to bring something to grill.
How did that work?
It was real weird. And we went because it was parents of friends of the kids. And it was one of those deals. And we weren't like friends with them, but it was.
So then if you bring filet mignon and your little neighbor brings chicken wings, okay, you can't have that. No, that's mine.
It's like, okay, that's my
beef.
Exactly. Yeah, It was different. So I mean, if you're going to have a party, that's just like, you know, maybe an Emily Post suggestion. Don't send the invite with bring your own meat.
Okay. And
just so funny.
You know.
I just want to say, like, for good friends, I don't mind helping at all. I don't mind bringing something. But if I'm going to somebody's house that I really don't know that well, but they're inviting me to a party, I don't want to have to bring something.
Well, I have been to parties where they say bring a dish to share, and that's great. Or if I'm doing a party and somebody calls and says, what can I bring? If they offer, I say, thank you. Yes. You know, dessert. Whatever.
I say, if you don't bring anything, you ain't coming.
Yeah.
No,
there's a door check and just leave.
Where's your meat?
Where's the meat?
You ain't got no meat.
You ain't coming to my party.
No, I mean, so many times I'll make so much more than I need to make up for people that, you know, and it's like, I shouldn't even say bring something because half the time I have so much left over.
Well, of course.
Anyway,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay. Come on.
While you guys were on the
Manic Mommies Escape,
I went to Disney World with two busloads full of middle schoolers.
Oh, my gosh.
And I came home.
And you still have hair. You didn't pull it all out.
No. And I thought to myself, what the hell was I thinking?
What were you thinking, Shannon?
I have no idea. But let me tell you something. The kids were great. The chaperones.
Mm-hmm. What?
The chaperones.
That's where you had a problem?
That's where the drama was.
What?
I kid you not.
You know what? Tell us everything, Sharon.
Okay. There were all kinds of chaperones.
I'm sure.
Okay. I end up sitting next to, and let's just name her Miss Sunshine.
Ooh.
There, she complained about everything. I mean, everything. It was like, after a while, I'm
Debbie Downer.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And, okay, so that goes. There was a chaperone that was a tattletale.
On you or on the kids?
No, on the kids.
Wow.
On the kids. Her daughter got in, the lady who was in charge of it, one of the directors, the big deal was how short the shorts could be. Now, it was supposed to be whatever, right?
Oh, who cares at Disney World? Why would they just, right. Unless they wanted the mamas.
Well, and one of the little girls the day before had worn those real short Sophies rolled up, like butt cheeks hanging out.
Oh.
So the director said something to her. You can't wear those shorts again. Well, the mom overheard it. Her mom was with them. Well, there are some eighth grade girls, and they have on short shorts. So, I mean, she's like tattling.
Oh, good God.
And, you know, I mean, it was just,
it's like everyone's neuroses had permission to manifest.
It was hilarious. I mean, I'm sitting here going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Like I said, the kids were great. It was lots of fun.
We named it the 10% on the cruise. When we first went on we were in the airport, this woman was ranting and raving through the airport. And I'm like, what the heck is wrong with that woman? And Suzanne's like, now, Carrie, 10% of the population is, you know, clinically whatever.
Has a diagnosable mental illness.
So the whole time on the cruise, we'd see somebody that was like acting quirky and we'd be like, she's part of the 10%.
And then it just got abbreviated.
Yeah.
10%.
Yeah. So you're 10%. With the 10%.
I sat next to the 10%er.
You certainly did.
And Disney World was lovely. If anybody plans on going, this is a good time.
Yeah, but she, okay, do you know what she did?
What?
She gets on a bus at like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And drives all the way to Disney, which is like, what, 8 to 10 hours?
Well, yeah, we got there at 1:30.
Goes to the Magic Kingdom.
No, it was Epcot. Let me tell you something. We were nonstop.
She goes from nonstop. Not even to the hotel.
No. No.
Why, Sharon? Why?
It wasn't my agenda. Believe me, if it had been my
itinerary. It was one of the neurotic 10%ers.
Well, they kept saying this. Well, no, this was the itinerary. So we're there till from 1:30 to 9 at Epcot. Mm-hmm. The next day was worse.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, okay. So that's all good. We did fun. We had a great time.
Did the kids go to sleep? Or were you up, like, trying to keep
Miss
them out
Sunshine,
of each other's rooms?
Miss Sunshine, the next morning. Guess who my room's next door to? And I kind of shrink down into my, because I know she was next door to my daughter's room.
Oh.
And so I'm like, were they up late? I just had to turn up my TV so I didn't hear them. I'm thinking, oh my God. Oh my. So I pull my daughter aside. I said, how late were you up? She goes, Mom, we fell asleep about 11:30. No, she.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, because then I went back to the mom and I said, well, I'll be glad to switch rooms with you. Because you know what I'm thinking? I don't want to hear this.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Good.
She's like, no, I'm not switching rooms. No, I'm not going to switch rooms. And I said, well, how late were they up?
Why is she even there?
Because exactly.
Because she's invested in being the victim.
Oh, okay.
So I said, well, how late were, well, I guess they finally fell asleep about 11:30. Guys, we left the park at 10, so I think that's pretty darn
good. Awesome.
That's reasonable.
Awesome.
They're middle school. They're
exactly.
There to have fun. I'm thinking, okay, 11. She goes, and then there was another room across the hall, and they were really loud. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Get a clue.
Yeah, get a grip. So the next morning, we're up on the bus. We go to the Magic Kingdom till 5. We get back on the bus, go to Epcot to see the show at 7, then get back on the bus and go to Disney Quest. So that was 3 parks in one day.
Suzanne, that sounds like your idea of like
hell.
Heaven.
Hell.
So we're at Disney Quest.
She's like, where's the inner coast? What's it called? The inner what?
The what?
The hotel? The inner?
The inner intercontinental.
Where's
the inner coast?
Where's the Ritz?
Or the Ritz.
So we're at 10 o'clock. We're supposed to be leaving. Okay. Now, you know me. By this time, literally, I am laying down on a couch at Disney Quest. They have an area where you can.
I'd be laying down.
I am laying down on the couch. They come over and they say, well, one of the moms wants to stay till 11. And I must have looked like, you know, a crazed look in my eyes because I was
like. As well you should.
they're like, okay, we're voting no. What's your vote? I was like,
hell no.
Hell no. Double hell no. So we all get back on the bus at 10. So our understanding is the bus driver is going to come back and forth. So we're like, okay, that's good. Keeps everybody happy, right? We get on the bus and the bus driver says, well, you know what? I really don't feel comfortable coming back. So we'll just wait for the other group.
Ew.
So you just sit there on the bus for an hour?
So Miss Sunshine. Well, this is what happens when you, you know, break up. And
when you what?
When you break up the group and somebody wants to do that. Yeah, no, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, well, if we're going to be here till 11, we might as well go back in there. Let the kids run around. Well, then if you do that, we won't get out of here till 11:30. So
yeah.
I'm like, okay.
At this point, whatever.
Yeah. So exactly.
Really?
So finally we get on at 10:30. But it was just, you know, they had some groups that were always going against the, you know, what was trying to go on. Then you had Sunshine.
Okay.
It
can
was
I just say,
really interesting.
Okay. Can I just say from a psychology perspective?
Yeah.
What happens is when people get in groups, they tend to fall into their family of origin behavior patterns, into what we call the family systems. Okay, whatever role they played in the family, when they get into a group like that, they just revert back, and it's so unconscious. So little Miss Sunshine, her role was to be the victim, and everything sucks, and everything's bad, and everything is being done unto me. So she's very invested in being the victim. And so people in groups.
Nasty.
No, but so people in that situation go back right into their family of origin stuff.
I mean, I heard her yelling at her daughter because, I mean, we're running into, and myself included, we're running into get in line for one of the rock and roll, whatever. You know, we got there early. And I see her back there doing the fast pass. So I'm running with the group, and she joined us. And I hear her say, these are my three fast pass because you left me behind. I mean,
wow.
I'm thinking,
to the daughter?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, she scares me.
Oh my God, that's one of my clients. No, just kidding.
So the daughter's not going to be able to use the fast pass.
Well, I'm sure eventually she, but that was her, you know, these are my fast passes because, and you know, everybody, I mean, it was
like
a
scary,
you guys.
Scary.
Yeah.
It was really.
She's one of the 10%. Seriously.
And I had a little guy that was in my group, and then the next day he wanted to be with another group. He was the only guy in a group.
Oh.
Next day, he was going to be in another group.
Fine.
Here you go. Here's your pass, whatever. Then the next day, he comes to me. He goes, Miss Martin, can I be back with you? And I was like, if Miss, and I used her name, if Miss Sunshine says it's okay.
Oh, he was
in her
back.
Group.
That is so funny.
So, and I hear her saying, well, this is why. You know, and I mean, she's like, I'm like, what do you care?
Oh, see, why do people even come? It's like,
you guys.
I heard what you said, but it's like, you're making everybody around you miserable. This is a class trip.
Just
go with the flow.
But whoa. But Carrie, that is a very logical, mature, rational thought. She's operating from a complex level, from her neuroses.
So she says to her daughter, I guess I'll go because they
need neuroses.
Chaperones. I mean, they don't do anybody any favors.
Yeah, and boy, will I have a good time making everyone else life suck.
Yeah.
So that's her stuff, you guys. That's her stuff.
So next time you chaperone, which you're not going to, I bet.
No, that might
be like,
chaperone
is Miss Sunshine going to be there? Your chaperone. I think our diva listeners, our sisters, should call in and tell us your chaperone stories.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Because there's surely many, many,
many. Okay, at 678, I'm sorry, Carrie, 678-884-0524. I'll say it again. Somebody said I said it too fast. 678-884-0524. Call us. Leave us a voicemail.
Or email us at diva@thedivacast.com. That's easy.
Yeah.
But we like calls.
We like calls.
Should we take a quick break?
Okay.
This is Carrie Garrison with Camera Dojo. If you'd like to make the most out of your photography, come check us out at the Camera Dojo podcast at personallifemedia.com.
Hey, Angela, you need to go check that out. She's our little...
Yeah.
She might
Angela.
Like that.
Angela. Yeah, so, hey, we're back.
Hey, just for our listeners... our format's changed just a little bit. If you notice now, we take a break in the middle, and it's just part of our change over to Personal Life Media.
Mm-hmm.
So just
go
FYI.
Check them out at personallifemedia.com. They have a lot of great shows over there. There's Inside Out Weight Loss, which is very popular, and Beauty Now, which deals with like aging and different things that you can get done to fix all that. And also, love, 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 Susan Bratton heads up this network, and she has a show called
dishy mix.
She's awesome, by the way.
She really is.
She is a ball of fire. She is a woman who's got it going on.
She's got great energy, and she's an excellent interviewer. So go check her out. She did an interview with Marcus Buckingham, and I said on an earlier show, I've got 5 books of his to give away with Words to Mouth, and I didn't interview him. I guess I could. I could
Carrie,
try,
tell, but, will you please tell people what Words to Mouth is?
It's an author interview talk show. It's a podcast.
I know, but I love your tagline. Can you say that? Where authors meet?
Where readers meet authors beyond the printed page and win free books. I have a ton of free books, you guys. And this book, I just got it in the mail, and it's awesome. It's a very nice gift. And I've got a ton of gift deals coming up. I've got authors that have like 3 books.
Wow.
You know, and these holiday packages where I could end up just sending them to your loved ones for their Christmas gift.
Oh,
that's
even
have to know that it's not, you know.
Wow, that it came free. Yeah, that's good. That's my kind of gift.
There you go, baby.
Hey, I'm all about it. Let me give you my Christmas list, okay, Carrie, and you can send out stuff
there
for me. Thank you. And we were just talking about chaperoning. And so anyway, I think my days are done as a chaperone. The other time I chaperoned this year was my son's homecoming. Got an email. They were desperate for parents to hand out cookies and drinks at the homecoming. And so I emailed him back saying, sure, I'll be glad to. And as soon as I told my son, he wasn't going to the dance anymore. There you have it.
That's the hard part. They don't want you. It's mortifying. No,
my son would be that way. Mom!
Well, it's not like I was in the dance, but there's all kinds of chaperones, you know. So if any of our listeners have any good chaperoning stories, please.
Yeah,
or when
us.
You were a kid and had a certain type of chaperone.
Yeah.
Anyway. And the other thing I wanted to talk about at Disney was parenting.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some sad parenting skills out there, you guys.
You think?
Oh, my gosh.
Like?
Well, this was one of the first nights. It's about 7:00. The baby's probably 10 or 11 months old, isn't speaking, but is saying a little bit of, you know, jargon communication. And she's in her stroller and she's grabbing somebody who looks like grandpa on the side of his pants, you know, just trying to get his attention or whatever. And the mom's saying, no, put your hands back in. Put your hands. No, don't grab. And so she's, you know, stretching and whining and trying to. The child is obviously exhausted. Probably tired, hungry, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the mom's like, and she gets in her face, puts both her hands together and says, don't put your hands outside the stroller anymore.
She's seven months old?
She's a little bit old. She's probably 9 or 10 months old. But this little baby's not talking. She's not, you know. I mean, I'm thinking, are you a crazy woman?
Yeah, see?
Are you related to Miss Sunshine?
Are you part of the 10% club?
I'm like so sad.
Yeah, I know, sweetie.
And the baby was adopted. I mean, you could tell the baby was adopted, just different, you know, origins kind of thing. Yeah, the baby was Asian and the parents were not. So, I mean, it was not that's relevant, but it was just, I don't know.
They will end up in my office in about 10 years.
Suzanne's like, ooh, good. Yeah. I got some
money coming in.
It was just, you know, these kids, by the end of the day, they're exhausted.
Yeah, of course.
I want you to still keep your chaperone card because I want you to come do a girls' retreat for the church with me.
Oh, is that in December?
No, it's probably going to be in March.
Where are we going?
I don't know. We're going to do something where you guys, I'm telling you, I am just totally, I'm beside myself with what goes on in the middle school.
Like what?
Like what? You know what? And Manic Mommy's, I hate to keep bringing those girls up, but they had this, I'm just kidding. They had these authors on about a year ago that did they went into the high schools around Boston and wrote a book about this very thing, how it's basically sexual harassment going on in the middle schools and some of the stuff that goes on. And just talking to some of my small group girls and different people, you know, the situation in the middle school. And then my friend Andy, who's a professor at a college, it's the same kind of stuff. Girls are putting up with stuff from guys like
sexual innuendo.
No, like they walk by the girls in the hallway and grab their boob or they grab their butt. or, I mean, it's physical contact.
Oh, no, no,
and the girls don't feel like they have power. Wow. They don't, you know, I said to them, I'm like, because I'm like very, you know, out there with them. And my friend Andy was saying to me, too, that it goes on in the college setting and that not necessarily the sexual, the touching, you know, in college, but that the girls are in this competitive dynamic where they're competing against one another for attention. And for what? The guys that they're like kind of competing for are like the bottom feeders. They're the guys that, you know, it doesn't even matter who they're. It doesn't matter who the guy is. They're just.
It's not about the guy. It's about the competition.
It's the attention that they're seeking. And it's like they have no self-esteem. And it's really disturbing. You know, I mean, and to me, if it's happening in middle school and college, we're missing something big.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea. Well,
And I know the thing is, you know, Suzanne, remember when you told the story about, I don't know if it was on Dear Zanny or if it was on this show, but you were talking about when you know something about another woman's child, whether to tell or not to tell.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I know one of these boys' moms very well.
Mm-hmm.
And the stories that I've been told about this boy make me furious that he's going around doing the stuff that he's doing, you know, grabbing girls' boobs, talking to them like they're dirt, you know, and the girls are like, I tell him not to do it. And I'm trying to tell them, I don't know what you would say, but I'm trying to tell them, do not engage in the conversation. Don't slap him back. Go walk away. You're still giving him attention. Walk away and tell somebody like an adult, you know?
I would not tell his mother. And the reason why is number one, she's not going to hear you. Number two, it makes me I'll just say it bluntly. It's very suspect that he's being sexually abused. So,
or the behavior's modeled at home.
Well, exactly.
I don't know but I'm telling you, there's a number of boys that are doing this stuff. So is it not maybe the gang mentality? They're doing it, I'm doing it?
It could be, but I will tell you, 1 out of 3 girls is sexually abused, 1 out of 7 boys. And we think for boys, it's even underreported. And so we think it's even closer to the girls. So if you look at how many students you have in one class and you think, oh my God, right? 1 out of 4 girls. What did I say? 1 out of 3 girls? And 1 out of 7 boys. And so so what is it when a boy is touching a girl, touching her breast or touching her butt? It's boundaries are being crossed.
Right.
Sexual boundaries. And so where are they
telling the counselor? And how come no one's telling administration about this?
Okay. You mean because the girls?
I
was asking my daughter and she's like, Mom, people, they don't see everything that goes on. There's no way. There's so many kids.
Right.
There's no way that they can tell. And I don't know. I mean, that's something that, you know, I want to keep the conversation going. But
wouldn't you feel comfortable going to one of the counselors at one of the schools?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
So do you not feel like you can do that?
Yeah, but names.
Yeah. I'm not saying I wouldn't do that. It just happened this past week that I asked a question in my group because I noticed a boy had his arm around a girl in my small group. And I said to her, is he your boyfriend? And she said, no. And I said, what's with that? Why? She said, I told him not to. And I said, listen to me. You get up. You walk away.
Yeah.
But there is an attention-seeking behavior going on with the girls. There was pantsing going on, which I don't know if you know what that is.
What is that?
Pulling down a girl's pants.
Oh, my gosh.
In front of the boys.
My
the girls
gosh.
Are doing this stuff to each other. And I was like, absolutely unacceptable. It's. But let me tell you something. If you read the book that Kristen and Aaron had, this book, where the girls are just totally demeaning themselves because it's on attention, you know, seeking behavior, to, you know, and it's so disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What can we do? I mean, what is we as parents?
I mean, my big thing with the church setting was I talked to the small group leader of the boys and said, you know, there's got to be something to be done. If they're not getting role models at home to teach respect and that is not appropriate, then they've got to be taught it, you know, in the youth group. And then I'm trying to do my part in my small group, but we're going to have like separate retreats where we deal with some of that stuff and talk about it, you know, because a lot of parents don't feel comfortable. They have no clue probably this stuff's going on at
school.
No
clue. No. No clue.
No. And like I said, it's going on in colleges too. So you've got educated women. They're like, what, 19, 20 now, whatever, still putting up with this crap. And you think, oh my gosh, you know?
Yeah, they're disempowered.
Here's a story that was really interesting. I get a phone call, and I don't think she would be upset with me. I'm not going to say her name. I think she's okay with me talking about this, but my girlfriend is a professor at a college, and she teaches women's studies, okay? There's one guy in her class. He has to do a presentation, so he's in front of everybody with his PowerPoint thing. He pulls it up. You know how you pull up your computer file on, it goes up on the screen? So before the PowerPoint comes up, the name of the file is Bitch Whore C-U-N-T, and the name of my friend, the professor's name. She sees it. Everybody in the class sees it.
Oh, my gosh.
She's like, what did I just see? He's like, oh, no, 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 nothing, nothing, nothing. Does his presentation, and she is so mad. Mm. You know, she's so disgusted. She calls me up on the phone, and she's so mad. And I said, you know what you need to do? This is my thing. I was like, next class, have him come in and explain to the entire room of women why he thinks it's appropriate to call women those names and, you know, whatever. She had to do a couple of different things. He had some other stuff going on. But I was like, you know,
wow.
How does he at all think that that's not, I mean, I know that he didn't realize that was going to come up on the screen in front of everybody. He's just an
idiot.
Oh, but
given the thought, I mean, that took a lot of time and thought for him to do that.
That's what he labeled his file.
Yeah, it's still saying that.
Yeah.
That was a very conscious act. It's not, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I mean, she says that she even witnesses some of the same behavior for the college age women. And I'm like, why are we okay with this? Why are those girls, you think, you know, our generation, we put up with some crap, you know, our parents, our moms put up with some stuff in the 70s, whatever. I don't know. I guess I'm just shocked that now it's so like vulgar and it's so like, you know, I don't know. I'm shocked.
Mm. It's very disturbing.
So, well, if anybody has any ideas,
call us, please, please.
Personal
at 678-884-0524, 678-884-0524.
Or, you know, if you have daughters in middle school or high school, please, you know, see if they'll talk to you or someone else about stuff
that's
going on.
It makes me want to talk to my son and ask him if he has ever witnessed this and let him know. It's just not acceptable.
Well, and the thing is when somebody talks about it and all the other girls go, oh, yeah. The boys come up and they do this thing called teabagging where you're sitting. If you're sitting on the floor, the guy will come up and just kind of basically hop over you, put his crotch in your face. They call it teabagging. If you ever hear that term. Yeah. And it's like they do it all the time. It's like, I know. It's gross.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's just this level of, oh, yeah, that happens. It's just, oh, isn't that normal? No. No, it's not acceptable.
Yeah. It's like our whole definition of normal has changed.
Gone out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
I know, but see, doesn't it kind of, I love the word incongruent. Doesn't it seem incongruent with where we think we are as far as women's rights and everything else?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you know? It does.
It's like gone off on some crazy.
Well, it's almost like there are no boundaries anymore. It's like anything goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anything goes. It's okay. Anything goes.
We sound old, you guys.
Yeah, but it is a whole new level
of. Yeah, okay, but look at the 60s. Okay, I'm just going to give you a reality check. Look at the 60s.
People did that in their free will. It wasn't like somebody coming up and just doing stuff to you.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
It was my impression. It was free love.
I know, but also remember so many more things were also so covert. So it wasn't as exposed and as obvious as it is now. So I don't know. It's a good question.
Who grew up in the 60s? Anybody?
Not me.
I was babies.
Me too.
We have some ladies that are a little bit older
than
us.
If you know.
Just a thought, but you know,
if you were teabagged in the 60s, call 678.
Yeah, if you were teabagged or what is the other one?
Pantsed.
Pantsing.
I think that's a new thing.
Yeah. Wow. We're off on a wild thing.
So all the more reason for me not to shepherd. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, forget that, man.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Forget it.
Okay, well, now I'm really depressed.
I'm sorry.
No, but I mean, ignorance is bliss, you know.
Yeah, it
really is.
Ask your daughter about it. Maybe she doesn't. You know, I do feel like there's some girls that get this behavior and some girls who don't.
Let me tell you something. I was so impressed with the group of kids that were there. I mean, they were lovely.
That's nice to hear.
Orchestra and chorus, and they were just really, really lovely. It was fun. But I do want to bring up something else that recently.
She's looking at you, Carrie.
Well, no, not. I'm looking at you.
Oh, shoot.
The high school cheerleading. Did y'all read those articles?
Mm-hmm.
They had been drinking. And they were drinking while they were cheering.
Oh, yeah. At our school?
Yes.
Yeah. And one of them's my client. Yeah.
And they made a big spectacle of themselves or whatever. And everybody found out. And, you know, so this became, I mean, we were on, you know, the news and everything. Not we, but the high school was. Mm-hmm. And so that's a whole nother topic is kids drinking in high school. A girlfriend of mine.
Okay. They were drinking vodka and Gatorade, drinking in front of a whole stadium of people. It's like.
They were really stupid.
Yeah, and man. Then they were sitting there doing the cheers and stuff. And they were so drunk.
Well, they were
mouthies.
They were mouthing to their
graders. Yes. They're babies.
But they were so drunk. But the dangerous part is that they were doing lifts and complicated things to other girls who were not drinking. And that's where the safety issue came in.
Well, and plus, you know what? You're out there representing the school.
Right.
No matter how you cut it.
Yes, but Sharon, but even more important, I'm thinking they're doing dangerous things.
Yes.
You have to have your wits about you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's what I heard. Yeah.
No, so it wasn't good. So anyway, so those girls, you know, just... And the kids aren't going to do dumb things.
Right. But that kind of dumb thing affects your, doesn't that affect their college?
Oh my gosh. That's one girl has a scholarship that she's going to lose. Yeah.
Right.
Because she was a senior or junior.
Wow. Yeah. So let's say they get that, is it out of school suspension or they're out of school
days.
For like 10 days and the teacher has authority or decision making if they can
make up the schoolwork.
But does this go on their record? Like when they go to college, it says caught for drinking.
Well, it might. I'm not sure, but I think there is a notation of suspension. Sure.
Oh, they have to explain.
Yeah. I mean, it's on your permanent record if you're suspended out of school. Yeah.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
Big.
Not bright. Not bright.
And see, that's that whole impulse control. Like they just don't have it.
No, they don't. And they don't have the consequence. Developed yet. You know, like if I do A, B, and C, then C, D, or E.
Yeah, they don't
happen.
Realize it's
they don't. They don't
them.
Follow that at all.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? We know now that part of the brain is not developed until you're like 21.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the whole frontal lobe stuff.
Yeah.
All the more reason to keep the drinking age where it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the thing is, keep talking to your kids. Keep telling them stuff. Just think through it. See, you know, remember if these kind of things can happen because they're getting behind cars. They're, you know, they're driving cars now and just, I know.
Yeah.
It's scary.
I did talk to my cousin today, just so you know, Terry, very sweet Terry emailed me and said, you need to call your cousin. You know, my cousin that lost his son.
Right.
Oh, had the most loveliest conversation with him today. It was so... I'm so glad I got a chance to talk to him because we kind of traded phone calls and an email and stuff. And, you know, he was like, hug your kids. You know, it was just very touching because it was like a perspective shifting moment for me. Because last night I was telling with my oldest one, I was like, we were talking about before we came on air with just the sibling dynamics and just getting frustrated with stuff. And, you know, and then you just get that nudge on what's important.
Okay, let's.
It's 7:30. It's my
bedtime. We're tired.
Bye, girls. Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. See you next time. Arrivederci.